I was invited to be part of a panel discussion in the past year called Anarchist Perspectives on Extraterrestrial Life. This was a question I wasn't focused much on at the time, but thinking more about it became a useful vehicle for pulling on a lot of threads I had been wanting to unravel. I'm interested in the expanding edges of what we consider possible. Another way of saying this is, I'm interested in the fringes of everything. Those on the fringes of society, but also fringe thought. Anarchism is considered by most to be pretty fringe thought, and I think it should remain so. I don't mean by that that anarchism should seek to be as freaky, unwelcoming, or as ridiculous as possible. What I mean is that, if it is to hold any relevance to others, it should be the avant-garde of the avant-garde, and seek to be a refuge for dreamers who are constantly rupturing the boundaries of what we think is possible. Possibility. Really feel the power of that word. Possibility. The anthropologist Wade Davis argues that the real value of other cultures, that is the value of there being many, many diverse cultures throughout the history of the world, the real value of that to people of any single culture like ours is that it's proof that other worlds are possible. Margaret Mead said her greatest fear was that eventually all cultures of the world would either disappear or meld into one global monoculture, and no one would be able to remember any other possibilities of how life can be. Existing or previously existing cultures prove to us certain ways of life are possible, which may be very different than our own. But the main lesson shouldn't be that only those other specific worlds are possible, or that we need to emulate them, but that any world is possible. Not just another world, but many worlds, infinite worlds. I think we could also apply a similar logic to worlds outside of Earth. The recent attention on high-profile UFO sightings in the past several years by the US military may be the most documented UFO cases in history. There's multiple forms of evidence by multiple aircraft and sensors verifying that there were indeed unknown aerial objects exhibiting behavior that defy the laws of physics as we currently understand them. And it's rumored that there's better evidence that hasn't been released yet. High-definition 4K quality video, which they apparently think we aren't ready for yet. So what we know so far is largely defined by what these objects are not. It's not an airplane. It's not a weather balloon. It's not a shooting star. It's not Aurora Borealis. It's not a drug-induced hallucination. It's not a non-drug-induced hallucination. This describes some of the most interesting cases so far. So what is it then? I don't know. But what I care the most about is that we have an unknown, and there's nothing more satisfying to me than seeing experts of the known be unable to explain something. These are often the very same experts who are part of a certain so-called educated class that is constantly teaching us that this world is the best and only possible world. And what does the unknown give us? Space. Space to dream. Space to dream of all sorts of wild possibilities. We're given such little permission as adults to use our imagination and creativity for things that don't make other people money. An unknown phenomena is a place that gives us that permission. Our task should be to expand that space of possibility, to reproduce more spaces of imagination where we have permission to truly dream. We're supposed to be the no blueprint people, the temporary autonomous zone people, the breaking the spell people. The idea of opening up spaces where we can imagine and experiment with different forms of life and push the boundaries of this reality is woven deeply into anarchism. One of my biggest takeaways from David Graeber's last book, which I highly recommend, is the simple point I've been trying to make so far, that nothing is inevitable and everything is possible. He paints a portrait of humans as dreamers who have demonstrated enormous agency in making and remaking their societies and are not simply victims of accidental environmental factors or crude instinct. We dream of things being different, and then we make them different. History proves this. Before you do anything to change things, you must dream, and you must believe that your dream is possible. You must imagine what lies beyond the acceptable boundaries of what others around you believe is possible. And one thing that can help us dream is the experience of awe, confrontation with the great mysteries. We had this constantly as children, but it's discouraged as we grow older. It's a feeling described by many who have seen UFOs, had a near-death experience, the astronauts who saw Earth from space. Suddenly, time stopped. They were totally enveloped in the experience, overcome with the enormity of it, and suddenly everything they thought they knew doesn't seem as certain anymore. They have more question marks than periods, and are somewhat comforted by the idea that there's more out there than we thought, that we don't understand everything, that we can't understand everything. They realize their vision was limited, and as anarchists, our ideal should be unlimited vision. In the context of change and the world being different, I'll go as far to say that if you don't believe in your own ideas about other worlds, then those worlds are not possible. They may as well not be, if no one believes in them. All worlds exist first as ideas, even if they're a large constellation of ideas. Demand the impossible is not merely a slogan, it's the program. And when there are infinite possible worlds, how can we really lose? The task ahead is to somehow take infinity and create freedom. I've been thinking about this question of why people so quickly, so urgently, and so passionately want to believe, even through their own cynicism, that UFOs are of alien origin. I don't think this is the only possibility, and in a way, it's limited vision which we should try to expand. But the idea of aliens from distant stars visiting Earth is still pretty outlandish. It's a symptom of what I described already, that the unknown is a blank canvas on which we are free to experiment and let our imaginations really get to work. I think people instinctively crave the opening of spaces like this in our culture, because we're imagination-starved. We're creatively starved. We want the freedom to imagine new worlds, even if they're not our own. But the more I think of it, the more I think that maybe not our own isn't totally accurate. There's a familiar humanity baked into these visions of extraterrestrial life. When we think of fictional portrayals of contact with extraterrestrials, there's no shortage of negative portrayals. There's been lots of analysis of what fictional portrayals of aliens say about our culture. But what I'm interested in is the non-fictional discussion of aliens. I've been exposed to a lot of people and experts thinking out loud about the possibilities of extraterrestrial life. What I've found is that the majority of it is surprisingly positive, and that's in spite of all the negative influence on the subject from Hollywood. Yes, there's the stories of unpleasant abductions, but on the whole, I feel like it's a mostly positive take on life outside of Earth. You hear lots of repeated themes, like they would be more advanced than us. Them being more advanced would obviously make them more peaceful and cooperative. They are thought to be so in tune with each other that they can communicate telepathically and speaking is not necessary. They're also typically portrayed as genderless or sexless. Why are there so many sightings of UFOs around nuclear missile sites? It's because they're trying to warn us, to save us, people say. I believe there's a rather transparent, self-reflective thing going on here. We're imagining that we could be more advanced, more peaceful, more cooperative, more in tune with each other, less restricted by gender. It is we who must save ourselves from nuclear war. We're allowed to imagine other worlds outside of Earth, just not other worlds on Earth. History is not on the side of the monoculture and all the Margaret Thatchers out there who tell us there is no alternative. The ruling class is resting on their laurels, so sure of themselves that alternative worlds are no longer threatening them, that in some moments, we'll even admit maybe this world isn't so great, but always immediately follow up with, but it's the only one possible. Know, deep down in your soul, that your cynicism, your nihilism, comes from the cultural influence of Margaret Thatcher. I know this because I felt this. There's a bit of Margaret Thatcher in us all. We're told millennials, if that word means anything, are a notoriously cynical generation. Gen X imagined themselves as offspring of a failed revolution. Another world was possible, but it failed. And they were left to inherit that failure. Millennials imagine themselves as living in an endless void with no connection to any memory that anything can be different. What will we do when the last veterans of the failed revolutions of the past die off? Will there be anyone left to remember the feeling of another world being within reach, something you could believe in and fight for? But where there's a void, there's hunger. The younger generations today are hungry for meaning, mystical experience, spirituality, the old ways. Having been raised in such a cynical culture, sarcastic and scornful about anything with a whiff of meaning to it, who wouldn't get burnt out? Thule Kupferberg, a longtime New York anarchist known for his band The Fugs, summed up his feeling on this question of our current state of affairs shortly before he died. Nobody who lived through the 50s thought the 60s could have existed, so there's always hope.